Good morning. I'm Kathleen Shea. I represent the appellate, James Hager. If I could reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay, proceed.
Your Honor, we requested argument in this case to have the opportunity to address the court regarding whether the state proved that Mr. Hager had entered a building as that term is ordinarily understood. So I will be talking about that issue unless the court indicates it would like to hear from something about something else from me. Mr. Hager in this case was charged with second-degree burglary. He was a deputy with the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office when he entered another person's land and removed items from a shipping container that was used for storage. Under the statute, a building is defined by its ordinary meaning. In addition to that ordinary meaning, it is also defined as a dwelling, a fenced area, a vehicle, a railway car, a cargo container, or any other structure used for lodging of persons or for carrying on business therein or for the use, sale, or deposit of goods.
How is it any different than my garden shed that has a door and no windows?
Well, and Your Honor, I think that under the full statute, that it would qualify as a building, the shipping container and your garden shed. But I think in terms of whether or not a shipping container is a building as that word is ordinarily understood, I think there is a very big difference between the garden shed and the shipping container.
Because it's made of metal?
I think that materials have something to do with it.
My shed's made of metal.
But I think that also it has to do with whether it's a temporary or permanent structure. And also, a building, as it's commonly understood...
Why does it matter whether it's temporary?
A building, as ordinarily understood, I think if you're just looking at the dictionary definition, has a sense of permanency. It's not something that's going to be moving from place to place.
Well, we see things called temporary buildings regularly in common parlance. Temporary housing.
Temporary housing, I think, would refer more to the individual's length of stay in the housing rather than the housing itself actually being temporary.
Well, the trailers at Katrina, they weren't intended to be permanent.
And that's true. They aren't intended
to be
permanent.
Are they buildings?
I think a trailer could be found to be a building as it's ordinarily understood.
Okay, why is a container different if it's storing goods?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons. A shipping container, for one, does not have a roof and walls. It has sides, but it certainly doesn't have any distinction between what is the roof and what are the walls. The dictionary
doors at one end, there are certainly some distinctions. There are two sides, it can't be the roof.
Well, that's true, but
You mean because it's got a flat roof and not a pitched roof, it's not a roof?
Well, and exactly how would you decide where the roof is in a container? That's not the same as a building that has a very discernible...
I might look at the doors and see which way the handles ran.
And if you flip to the doors, then the roof could be on the bottom in a shipping container.
That kind of depends on how the handles work, doesn't it? Most of the containers I'm familiar with, you can't put upside down and open the doors.
Well, if you actually flip to those doors, you flip the whole mechanism, then yes, probably a shipping container could be turned on its head and used that direction, unlike a house or a building, which that isn't the case.
Are you presuming there's no top on this container?
No, I absolutely believe it's an enclosed space.
Okay.
But what the state is asking is for this court to accept the fact that a building is defined according to whether it's enclosed, a person can enter it, and it can accommodate a human being. That is not the definition of a building as it is ordinarily understood. And I think the legislature knew that and accommodated for that when they wrote the statute. By accepting what the state's definition is for a building as ordinarily understood, this court would have to essentially decide then that the rest of the statute is superfluous.
I want to make sure I understand the appellant's argument. Are you saying that the jury should have been given the additional definition, or just that it's not common sense that the shipping container is a building?
I'm saying that if the jury had been given the full definition, I would not be standing here making this argument, that would have been sufficient evidence, because that full definition clearly includes a cargo container and it clearly includes a structure used for the deposit of goods. I think a shipping container could fall under either of those.
But there was no exception to not giving that definition below, was there?
But it was, yes, the state proposed this.
But I mean, when the failure to give the definition of building was not accepted to by the defense, right? They didn't propose it either.
If you look at the record, the defense's instruction encompassed more. The state asked for this more limited instruction. The court gave this more limited instruction.
What more did defense encompass in their instruction?
The defense instruction, the defense proposed instruction said, building, in addition to its ordinary meaning, includes any fenced area. Building also includes any other structure used mainly for the use, sale, or deposit of goods. So the defense proposed instruction actually included that structure.
But it didn't include the words cargo container.
It did not.
Statute.
It did not, but it used structure for the deposit of goods.
And maybe I missed that, but did the defense accept when that instruction was not given?
The defense did not take exception to the state's proposed instruction,
I mean, the failure to give its own instruction. Did they accept it?
No, I do not think they did.
They did ask for lesser included, and
the
court gave criminal trespass 1 and 2. And so if you look at the instructions as a whole, couldn't the jury have concluded that under the facts of this case that this particular container was, in fact, a building?
No, not as it's ordinarily understood, and that's all they had. Based on the instruction they were given, they had to find that this shipping container was a building as ordinarily understood, a dwelling, or a fenced area. The state did not make an argument that it was a dwelling or a fenced area, which is understandable. The evidence was not there. But to argue that this is a building as it is ordinarily understood, as the state has suggested, then this court must find that a building, the full definition of a building as it is ordinarily understood, is simply that it's enclosed, a person can enter it, and it can accommodate a human being. That is certainly not a building as it is ordinarily understood. And again, in doing that, would render the rest of the statute superfluous, which, as I've argued, is not appropriate under Urban, I believe. But
how do you deal with Tyson, which is a 30-year-old decision from our court, which seems to talk about a loaded cargo trailer was a building for purposes of that burglary prosecution?
Your Honor, I'm sorry, I would have to look specifically at that, but one question I would have is whether or not the court in that case was operating under the full definition of the statute or a abbreviated version, which is here.
I couldn't tell from reading the opinion, so maybe you can address that in rebuttal.
Okay.
Good morning. May it please the court and counsel, my name is Nami Kim and I represent the state of Washington here today. Because counsel has focused her question for the court with respect to what the ordinary meaning of a building is and whether or not there was sufficient evidence here in this case for the structure at issue to constitute a building, I will focus my response on that unless the court has any other questions. The first thing that I wanted to address is in direct response to the court's questioning regarding what makes this particular structure here a building. The temporary nature seems to have been an issue for counsel. First of all, I'd note that the dictionary definition that counsel provided in briefing to this court to support what they believe the ordinary meaning of a building is was not the full dictionary definition. I know that the one that they cited stated that it must be a usually roofed and walled structure built for permanent use, parenthetical, as for a dwelling. The actual full definition from Webster's Third International is a constructed edifice designed to stand more or less permanently, covering a space of land covered by a roof or less more or less completely enclosed by walls, and serving as a dwellhouse, storehouse, factory, et cetera, et cetera.
But in this case, the statutory definition of building is somewhat different than that, and it does include the term cargo container in it. And so I'm wondering why the state wouldn't ask for that instruction at trial.
Would it have been ideal to include that part of the definition? Sure, that would have been the better practice. But the state believes that in this situation, this large shipping container, which was completely enclosed, more than large enough to enter, everyone agreed to that, is able to accommodate a human being. Mr. Hager himself was talking about roaming to the back of this container, having to go past lots of junk to get to the back. This is something that more than one human could obviously accommodate. The state has met the requirement.
How do you respond to counsel's argument, though, that the word cargo container in the additional part of the definition is pure surplusage if the ordinary meaning of building includes a cargo container?
Well, I think State v. Johnson addresses that, and I would argue, before getting into State v. Johnson, that it's not rendering the rest of the definition, RCW 9A, I think 041105. I don't think it's rendering those specifically enumerated examples superfluous. It's clear from the, I think even counsel, I think, quoted State v. Tyson for the proposition that courts recognize that the definition of a building is very broad in this particular RCW. It is apparent that the legislature, when it listed those specifically enumerated examples, simply wanted to be certain that those specific examples were not overlooked. But
if
just
that
because
was true, why wouldn't it say building has its ordinary meaning, which includes, rather than saying in addition? I mean, the words in addition seem to undercut that argument.
I think if we look, I think what the statute says is in addition to its ordinary meaning includes.
Right, which suggests that its ordinary meaning does not include any of those things.
Well, Your Honor, my position is that I believe the legislature, just because they wanted to make crystal clear that all of these examples were not overlooked, does not mean ultimately that no reasonable juror could find that this structure in this case qualifies as a building under the ordinary meaning of that term. And I think that looking at that, or focusing the argument that way, that's what we're looking at here, whether or not any reasonable juror could look at that structure.
What do we say the words in addition mean to reach your result?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, what do I say the words
in addition? What do the words in addition mean if you are correct?
Well, I think it recognizes that the word building is a common term. It is a common term that has its own ordinary meaning. And that, in addition to that, there are, I think, less traditional ideas of what a building might be. But just because someone might not come to the conclusion on their own that this structure constitutes a building under its ordinary term doesn't mean that no reasonable juror could not do that. And that's the standard that we need to apply here when we're looking at this. When we talk about in addition to the ordinary meaning, I don't think the legislature was meaning to exclude a dwelling, for example. For example, a dwelling. Most people would look at a house or a dwelling and they wouldn't question that it's a building. I think a dwelling obviously meets the ordinary.
Well, it's any dwelling, not just dwelling.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
It's the word any dwelling, which might include a lean-to, which might not ordinarily be conceived of as a building. There's two words there, not just the word dwelling.
At the same time, Your Honor, I think that if we're saying that the ordinary meaning of the word building is necessarily exclusive of those the list of examples that follows in that statute, that would require us to assume that any dwelling would not fall under the ordinary meaning of building. And I think the issue that counsel was talking about, what constitutes the ordinary meaning of a building, you know, whether or not it has a roof, whether it's flat. I think in this case, it seems that counsel is not arguing that under the definition in State v. Johnson, this storage container meets that statute, State v. Johnson's definition of what a building is. It was enclosed. It was large enough to enter. It could accommodate human beings. And in Johnson, the jury instruction that was provided to the jury in State v. Johnson was almost exactly the same as the one provided here. They were discussing whether a locomotive qualified as a building. The jury instruction provided to the jury there was the term building, in addition to its ordinary meaning, includes any railway car. And the court specifically found there that a locomotive meets the definition of a railway car, one of the specifically enumerated examples in RCW 9A041105, and the term building, in addition, also meets the ordinary meaning of a building, which is enclosed, large enough to enter, able to accommodate a human being. The court found that a locomotive in that case met both parts of that definition. And I think...
Did the parties debate the meaning of building in their closing arguments?
In this case?
Yes.
No, Your Honor.
I mean, the defense didn't accept to the instruction given. Did it then argue based on the instruction given that the cargo container wasn't a building?
Your Honor, I'd have to check I'd have to check the record. Off the top of my head, I believe that the argument was that it didn't meet the definition of a fenced area. I think that was one point the defense argued. I don't recall defense arguing whether or not it met the ordinary meaning of the building. I know certainly because I did check that the state.
And what did the state tell the jury?
The state focused not obviously on the fenced area or the dwelling definition given, but on the fact that this is obviously a building. It has four sides, a roof. It qualifies as a building. It can fit a person, which is the ordinary meaning of the word building.
Did the defense offer any response to that part of the state's argument?
Your Honor, I'd have to check the record. I'm not able to answer that right now, and I don't want to give an incorrect answer.
That's an appropriate response.
Your Honor, before, I know I'm running out of time here. There is one last point that I wanted to make. I know that Mr. Hager made the point in his reply brief that he believes the state has conceded the issue that there was not sufficient evidence of intent in this situation because there was not a separate section responding to that. And I simply want to say it's clear that the state is not conceding to that at all. I mean, the whole purpose of the harmless error analysis in the 404B analysis was that there was overwhelming evidence of his intent. The only issue here at issue during this trial was his intent. Did he go in there with the intent to steal property or interfere with property or commit a trespass against crime against property, or was he here doing a favor for a friend that he thought was the rightful owner? Mr. Hager himself agreed to every element of the crime of burglary except for intent. And that's actually what was argued at the trial level by the prosecutor here during closing argument. The only thing we're really here to argue is what was really in his mind, what was he intending to do here. So was there a separate section responding to that in my brief? No, but I think that it was thoroughly addressed in the briefing that was provided. If there's no further questions, Your Honor, we would ask this court to affirm.
Thank you. So what did defense counsel argue in response to the prosecution's argument about what a building was?
The main defense at trial was that was intent, was that he did not have the intent to steal, and that, in fact, he had been given permission and thought that he was doing the correct thing. Certainly, I'm not going to suggest otherwise. But
is there any argument that he didn't go into a building?
I don't think that was specifically argued. I looked through in preparation for today, I don't think so.
Then your argument is a reasonable jury couldn't conclude on this instruction that the container was a building.
Yes. My argument is that the state put forth these instructions. These instructions were the law of the case, and that no reasonable juror could have found sufficient evidence that he actually went into a building given the definition that was provided in the jury instructions.
But doesn't that make it an uncontested fact that he went into a building? The defense didn't contest that he went into a building. Why are we reviewing?
I think that
that's a factual issue.
What I would say, no, I don't think it's a factual issue. I think there is a legal issue here. This is a statute that very clearly outlines the fact that a building can be as it's ordinarily understood or all of these things. When the state elects to present to the jury only that the individual went into a building as it's ordinarily understood, then they must prove their case. There must be sufficient evidence to prove that issue, and that was not here. To prove that it was a building as to its ordinary use, and that was not here. We are permitted to raise a sufficiency argument on appeal, and that is what we are doing here. And I just wanted to touch on Judge Trickey's question. I unfortunately do not have the case Tyson with me. I do have my notes. I do believe, although I have not just reread the case, that case did give the full definition or at least did discuss cargo containers. So again, like in Johnson and like in the cases that Johnson relies on, Miller and Dietcher, these are all cases where the full definition was given. So I would submit to the court that those really don't offer guidance here. And if there are no further questions, I would ask that the court reverse.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.